This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Barry Sanders here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
If only you had a little James Harden in you back in the day.
We just don't have the players, guys.
Did you ever think of doing that?
That would have been a reach for me.
Earlier on the show, CBS broadcaster and the voice of the Brooklyn Nets, Ian Eagle. Coming up, WBC interim lightweight champion Ryan Garcia. Actor Lou Diamond Phillips. Plus, co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. The WBC interim lightweight champion, Ryan Garcia, will be joining us in the middle of this hour. Your phone calls will take him in a matter of moments here, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We just chatted with Ian Eagle of CBS Sports and also the voice of the Brooklyn Nets on Yes. Is that right? Okay.
Yes.
Ian Eagle just joined us, and he also called the Bills win over the Colts in his final game for CBS Sports this year. It'll be Nance and Romo on the sole CBS game of the week, which is Browns at Chiefs to kick off wild card division weekend Sunday.
Oh, baby. Sunday's games are just
lit. Whew. Well, I mean, you got Mahomes. Well, first of all, you got Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, they're all great at this point. But like Sunday, I think, is a little above Saturday.
I just love the whole quarterback stories, right? Brady and Breeze, there will never be a playoff matchup with the quarterback combined statistics of these two quarterbacks in the same playoff game. There will never be one like this again. Unless, again, as we said, Mahomes was drafted in 2017. Somebody from the 2018 draft plays just as long as Mahomes and has either more quarterback records than Mahomes does at that time or is second place on the all-time list. Assuming Mahomes does take over first place on all the all-time lists because he does play as long as Brady or Breeze is playing. I mean, it's so unprecedented what we're seeing on Sunday. It's absurd. And then Mahomes is the appetizer that day. The defending Super Bowl champs against the Cleveland Browns team in the divisional playoff round for the first time since 1994. With Kevin Stefanski back. And I assume Joel Bitonio back as well. Full strength. Here we go. Minus Odell, obviously.
You feeling a certain way about that?
I don't know. I'm still talking it up. I'm still talking it up a wee bit right now, you know, because I'm still trying to figure out. You know, Sean McVay is playing cat and mouse right now as to who his quarterback's going to be. Because
Browns Chiefs doesn't need talked up.
No, I know. But Rams and Packers.
And Packers might need a little talking up.
Well, I mean, why? You got the number two media market in the country in the Rams.
The Rams have not been a sexy team of late. With the Goff injury, they're kind of defense-led in this offensive world that we're living in.
The Rams haven't been a sexy team since that Monday night win over the Chiefs.
Fair.
Honestly, because that's when, after that, is when Gurley started to ride stationary bikes rather than, you know?
Yeah.
Remember C.J. Anderson was taking all those, you know, red zone opportunities?
Against the Saints, it was like, wait,
right. It's like, what's going on here? And suddenly they became less dynamic offensively. It's amazing. This team that, as you could see, is struggling to put up 20-some-odd 30 points a game offensively with one of the most brilliant offensive minds in the business. They used to put up 40, you know, getting out of bed. Now the defense it's the best defense in the playoffs. I didn't stutter. Saints are an amazing defense. Amazing defense. Tremendous defense. Could take him home. If the Rams and Saints play in the NFC Championship game again, as I said earlier this week, two things. One, it could be a final score of 3-2. And two, if it's pass interference in the secondary for the Rams, they better call it. If that happens in the NFC Championship game in the Superdome. And I have some interesting numbers that I'll get to over the next, if not this show, the next before we get out of Dodge tomorrow to take you to the weekend about this rematch, Brady and Breeze, and teams that have swept a season series and then facing them a third time. You'll be surprised about those numbers as to who wins that third game historically. But Aaron Rodgers and Goff, is it Aaron Rodgers and Walford? I mean, who knows? And then the Saturday night game, Mike Del Tufo, I'm giving you a full day's notice.
Weather.
The Mike Del Tufo weather report. Obviously, you know, it's going to be all over the map, and it's very exciting for me because it involves Saturday, Lambeau Field, and then Orchard Park, New York on Saturday. So those are two cold weather sites, big stuff, okay? And then Kansas City, I mean, that could be a total wild card weather-wise on Sunday. And then my favorite part of your weather reports, Mike, is when you give us the weather of a dome game. It's really my favorite part of any sort of Mike Del Tufo weather report. When you throw in the dome, it's a lot of fun.
Well, you have to walk
so
there.
I'm giving you a heads up.
I got to prepare. Damn it.
Okay. That's going to be on tomorrow's show. Let's get to a phone call or two here on the Rich Eisen show. Let's go to Dave in Brooklyn, New York. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, Rich. Well, I'll start with the Brooklyn thing, as I can see Barclays from my apartment. It's ever more confusing, this trade. Evan Roberts, local sports host and WFAN, was bawling his eyes out yesterday how bad he was about the trade, and it really doesn't make sense. You give away the farm with the uncertainty with Kyrie Irving. You bring in another personality. I like what Ian said about bringing in Joyce Brothers as the assistant coach, maybe. But you bring in all these personalities that can't mesh, and really a linchpin. You lose LeVert. You lose Allen, who was his face was emblazoned on the outside of the building. So obviously he was an important part of the team. But you think now, like, Green is the strongest non-personality guy you have on the court now in your starting five, who's won championships, and no one's talking about him. But with Harden, you let him get out of there, and does it all of a sudden make it better that Durant and Harden have played together? It just confuses me. On the Urban Meyer front, this is a guy who said after he left Florida, you know, I'm not coaching. I need to take some time away. Goes to Ohio State. I saw him coach at Utah in that bowl game with Alex Smith. I was there in the marching band with Pitt because I went to Pitt. So I saw him have success. And when he was at Utah, he's like, I'm not going anywhere. And then he jumps to Florida. Is this another jumping off point for him to be like, I'll try the NFL. Maybe get him back into coaching. Maybe I go back to college where I really love doing things. Because as we saw with Nick Saban, you talked about it a lot. Had he not had terrible success at Miami, maybe he would have stayed in college the whole time. I mean, heck, even Rich Rodriguez, talking really random things, he's coaching again, and of your beloved Michigan Wolverines. He's coaching now as an assistant coach for Louisiana Monroe. Did anyone know where that school is? Probably not. And I'm really excited for Mike's weather report tomorrow. All I think about is whoever the weather guy was in Dallas during the Leon Lett fumble snow game all the many years ago. I picture that happening for some reason with Lamar being like, I've never seen snow before, except for one time practicing at Louisville. I saw that article. He's like, South Florida kid, never really saw snow before. I could just imagine him running backwards for that football. And then Don Beebe somewhere is like, I've tracked down Leon Lett before. Calais Campbell, don't even try it.
Thanks for the call. Dave in Brooklyn, everybody. Rack him, right? To use the phrase.
Epic.
I remember Super Bowl 40 in Detroit. And I forget who it was. It was a corporate sponsor that a little paying gig for me, and I hosted a chalk talk, you know, where you get athletes from the NFL talking about the game that's coming up with Steelers and Seahawks, that Detroit Super Bowl that Hines Ward was the MVP for eventually.
Was Jerome Bettis from Detroit? I can't.
Yeah, right. Remember. That was the whole story, as you know. And Jeremy Stevens talking smack and Joey Porter going at him, and that was quite a week.
That was fun.
But at any rate, the reason why I bring it up is there was one of the athletes who was giving the X's and O's conversation was a kid who was about to come out of college and go into the pros, and that was Reggie Bush. And Reggie, you know, who wore the San Diego area code on his eye black underneath his eyes when he was running for USC and doing all the USC stuff. He's staring out the window at the falling snow. And I walk up to him, and I'm like, what you looking at? And he goes, I'm looking at the snow falling. And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty, huh? And he goes, I've never seen that before. And I'm like, what? Because, you know, I'm from New York City. Reggie Bush had never seen snowfall before.
Amazing.
Hey, so put that in your mind for
Buffalo's good.
Look, we could sit here and say, you know, Josh Allen doesn't have the advantage because he's going to be the only running threat, and Lamar's got a whole bunch of other threats. But Josh, you know, played some ball in Wyoming.
Sure did.
You know, from Fireball, California on the way to Wyoming. And here's Lamar, you know, a kid from Florida.
Yeah, it's going to be
a mess. He's going to be free, you know. He might need a couple more IVs, if you will. Some trips indoors.
Just don't eat wings the night before. Right? Yeah, exactly. Come on.
So let's talk Urban here a little bit, because you do hear, why would he do it? Why would he do it? Certainly since he left Florida and he left the Ohio State University, and he's talking about health issues. Wanted to be with family. Remember that Florida? He wants to be with family, and then he winds up
heart
at Ohio.
Thing,
right, right. And then he winds up at Ohio State,
right.
and then it's something going on with his health of his head. And so why would he mess with this, right? Why would he do that? Well, two things. One, it's difficult to get coaching out of your blood. It really is. And two, don't forget, there were other, it's extenuating circumstances why he left both Florida and Ohio State at the time.
Right.
Okay. And so why would he leave the comfort of the Fox studio where he wins every weekend? Okay. And I saw him at the last couple of Super Bowls, and he looked like a guy who did not have a care on planet Earth. Not a care in the world. If you are considering coming back to coaching, you have to look in the NFL. If you're trying to go to the NFL for the first time, if you're thinking of going to the NFL for the first time, you have to think hard. Is the current spot where you are working better than going into the NFL and the rigors of all of that? Well, if you put that down on a piece of paper, where he's working right now, he wins every weekend. Where he's going to, he does not. Okay? If you're Ryan Day, who's rumored to have been asked to interview for the head coaching job at Philadelphia, do you stay at Ohio State, where you are probably paid a very pretty penny, akin to what you'd be paid as an NFL head coach? Back in the day, NFL head coaches used to get paid more than college. That's no longer the case. But do you stay at a spot where you can get five first-round picks at every position every year of your own choosing? You can stockpile them. Do you get to stay there, or do you want to go to a spot where you only get one of those a year, if you're lucky, and you could win a Super Bowl? How great is that? But then do you want to go to a spot where you win a Super Bowl and 3 years later you're fired?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or do you stay at a spot where you're already the king and you will be the king for as long as you want to be? That's why Ryan Day's telling the Philadelphia Eagles now. Plus, there's also the quarterback situation. Does he want to go there, and does he want to be the one to figure out the Wentz-Hurts thing? Right? That's, again, the reason why I wanted the Jets to do what they should have done, which is get the first overall spot so they have people who would be wanting to work for the Jets, because Trevor Lawrence is coming. Now you say for the Jets, like, hey, you want to come here and you're going to have to be the one to figure out Darnold or whatever. I mean, it's not like an impossible thing to figure out. You can still figure it out, but it's cut and dried for Urban Meyer. You go to Jacksonville. You get the supremely talented Trevor Lawrence. You get to choose your general manager. You get a roster that is young, with a lot of young players, that also has cap space the size of some small nation's gross national product. And you have an owner who's not going anywhere. And you have a state where there's no state tax coming out of your salary. That's the only reason why Urban Meyer is even thinking of going here. Unless there's something else. And here's what the something else might be as he's writing down pros and cons on a piece of paper. Right now, he is known as one of the greatest college football coaches in the history of college football, correct?
Correct.
But who's the greatest coach in the history of college football?
Nick Saban.
Nick Saban.
Okay. It's not Urban Meyer, right? Where did Nick Saban go and did not succeed?
Miami.
In the NFL, right?
Miami Dolphins.
Right. State of Florida, NFL.
State of Florida.
Okay, so he can go to the state of Florida and prove that he can do it, right? Okay, that's another thing. Two, I don't know where the College Football Hall of Fame is.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Thank you, sir. One day Urban's going in there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Will Urban go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, in his beloved state of Ohio? Will he go in there?
No.
Okay. What's the way for him to actually go there? Go to the NFL.
Coach in the NFL, win some titles.
Correct. Correct. And if he does that, will he be known as a greater coach than Nick Saban?
100%.
Not necessarily.
He wins the Super Bowl for the Jacksonville Jaguars once, if not twice. Just again, this is what the Jacksonville Jaguars and Urban are thinking together while they're sipping whatever they're sipping on Shad Khan's, can't even call it a boat, right?
Kismet. Yacht? Kismet. Thank you, sir. Name of it. Kismet. It's actually for sale.
Very good. Oh, okay.
Yeah, $120 million.
Out of your price range, right?
Yeah, I mean, okay. A little above.
But see what I'm saying? Like, you don't have these conversations and not think big. So, in theory, in ultimate obvious success, not one, but multiple championships for Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars and Urban Meyer. Multiple.
Say two.
It'll take some time, clearly. If he does it, this is a huge hypothetical. If he does it, okay, what about Urban Meyer's legacy? If he does it, you win two championships, you're eligible to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Right? If you win it twice, you go and you have a talk about being a gold jacket and a bust. Right now, Urban Meyer can sit in the Fox studio and talk about how great Nick Saban is and talk about how Ryan Day has taken his program to potentially new heights, which deep down he would love to have because he loves the Buckeyes. He could sit in the studio in Los Angeles and talk about, hey, Dabo Swinney's got another one. He can make a lot of money and he can do whatever he'd like to do and not get the stress of football coaching. That's true. What's the alternative? Take this job, win championships, and be known as I lifted the glass egg and I lifted the piece of Tiffany that's the Lombardi trophy. I did both. Guess who didn't? Nick Saban. Guess who hasn't? Also, Bill Belichick. This is his way of getting to be placed on the Mount Rushmore of coaches. You could sit here and say what he did in Florida and what he did at Ohio State. He had a good staff. He got good guy, whatever. You could, whatever. If you want to denigrate his resume, have at it. I won't. I had seven Thanksgiving weekends ruined by this man. Wrecked my buffet.
I was going to say.
So, he wrecked. But if he does that and then goes to the NFL and wins with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the opportunity to do it is, again, set up. He's got a generationally talented unicorn already. It's placed in his hands. That's yours, Urban. General manager. Let's talk about it. Who do you want? Cap space. Quality of life in terms of the Florida lifestyle that he and his wife have obviously had before. I mean, it makes complete sense why he would attempt to do it. It's a very, you know, very tough road for him to traverse successfully, but if he does it, and he's standing there with a bust and maybe whoever, his wife and he pull the cloth back and there's Urban's bust, or he and Zeke Elliott pull back the cloth and he does the OH thing just like, you know, Chris Carter was able to do. I mean, that's why he's got to be thinking about doing this. Because other than that, he's sitting in the stands looking up and watching his Buckeyes go in, sitting there wondering, like, could that have been me? He's got to sit there and think about that because the opportunity's there. Laugh all you want about Jacksonville. Don't laugh. Okay? 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, we talk with the WBC interim lightweight champion of the world, Ryan Garcia, when we come back. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix.
Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets.
at the Rich Eisen Show, and every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it, and then the all-in prices. That's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, also on NBC Sports on Peacock. If you want to watch our show every day, get Peacock. The app is free. It's dynamite. There's so many great television shows and movies, original and, of course, shows and movies that you've enjoyed for years that you could see on Peacock. Go to PeacockTV.com to get everything. And, well, yeah, sure. And The Office is one of those shows. Every episode, extras, exclusives, streaming right now. The brilliant Office, The Office, right here on Peacock. It is the new exclusive home to one of the must-see TVs of all, television shows of all time. The YouTube original docuseries, 30 Days with Ryan Garcia, followed Ryan's journey leading up to his fight against Luke Campbell, which was successful for him. And it aired its final episode yesterday. And Ryan Garcia, the WBC interim lightweight champion of the world, joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Ryan?
You there, Ryan? Yes, I'm here. How
are
you doing?
How are you? Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. How's life for you, King Ryan?
Been good. Trying to establish things I need to establish after my match. A lot of things came to me pretty quick, so I'm just figuring things out.
All right, what are you establishing? Walk me through what's life to establish for somebody who is... got off to a blazing, wonderful career start with the sky being the limit. What about that, Ryan?
I'm establishing, I guess, order in my life, because when you're giving so much blessings and money and fame, even more than I already had, you need to, like, structure things the way, according to the right way. And that's what I'm doing right now. So I guess you could say I'm handling my life, and I'm placing things in my life that I need to place.
Does that mean people are coming out of the woodwork, Ryan? Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't say people are coming out the woodworks. I mean, I guess you need to know who is there to actually support you, who is there trying to, you know, deceive you. And and you just need to trust that, you know, things will play out the way they play out, and everything will be fine. You understand what I'm saying? So it's just a lot. It's a lot because a lot has came at me, so it makes sense.
What do you think about the concept of you starting 21-0 and people are already mentioning the words Floyd and Mayweather in relation to the way that your record has already started and what you can accomplish? What do you think of when you hear that?
What I think when they mentioned me against with Floyd and who else?
Floyd Mayweather. Yeah, I just Floyd. When you hear Floyd's name get mentioned to you, what about that?
I see Floyd and my name mentioned as two opposites, like kind of a mirror reflection of myself. He had it all. He knew what he had to do in the ring. He had a good sense of fighting, yet he didn't set a good example for people that look up to him, and people who ultimately see him as an inspiration. So, honestly, we're the polar opposites. I'm here to set a good example for the future generation to see me and see that what a champion is really about. And he's just basically somebody that had a chance to do it and didn't do it.
So how do you view your responsibilities then that are different than what you think Floyd has? Ryan, walk me through that. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'll try to walk you through it. it's in my humble way. I will try to say, you know, because I don't want to disrespect you. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, Floyd, for example, right? I'm going to have everything Floyd had. You understand what I'm saying? The money, fame, women try to come at him. You know, he was, what was he called in the beginning? Pretty Boy, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did they call me? You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
But if you follow Floyd's journey, you know, it wasn't so much his fault. You know, a lot of people didn't want to give him the credit in the beginning, even though he was fighting everybody he had to fight. You know, I'm sorry, there's people talking.
It's all good, Ron.
Yeah. And can you guys be quiet, please? I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Here, 1 second.
No,
hey!
This is fantastic.
Please. No talking. I'm on the interview. Thank you. Interview going on.
That's right, Ryan. Please. You set the ring here, man. This is our ring, and we're having a conversation. I appreciate that. Where are you right now? Where are you?
I'm in my home. Yeah.
Fantastic. Oh, look, we're all quarantining best we can. I understand it, but you were saying, go for it.
Yeah, what I was saying is, and I want to say this in the kindest heart, because Floyd don't know better. You know what I'm saying? I mean, maybe he does, but he chooses not to, or maybe he's just not aware. And hopefully, this message reaches to him. We are almost the same, but we're not the same. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna have everything he has and more, yet I'm gonna be a better example. And when I say that, I mean I'm gonna hold my values to a standard where when people look at me, they want to say, "Wow, he really does follow God." Yeah, man. Even if he made mistakes, he still went and fixed them. You know what I'm saying? And Floyd. And I don't want to do this I'm not trying to condemn him, and I'm not trying to judge him. I'm not trying to make him feel smaller than I am. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm no better than him. I'm just learn faster. Thank God. But Floyd, you know, he's done a lot of things, and I don't think I need to say them. You guys can imagine, I mean, the past is there, and I'm not throwing that at his face. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to word this the best way I can, because mm-hmm. I really do. I care about Floyd as well. I mean, I care about everybody. I do love everybody, in a way. You know what I mean? But when I say this, it's like Floyd had a chance to be a good example to future generations. He had a lot of kids looking up to from the streets. You know what I'm saying? From the streets. You know, it's one thing to come from the streets, and then it's another thing to still live like you're from the streets. You got blessed with everything you could think of, and you're still setting a horrible example. To me, that's, man, shame on you. But that's just my opinion on it. I don't know. You tell me.
Ryan Garcia here on the Rich Eisen Show at King Ryan G on Twitter, at King Ryan on Instagram. And again, 30 Days with Ryan Garcia just wrapped up, the YouTube original docuseries. Following Ryan against Luke Campbell, aired the final episode just yesterday. Check it out on YouTube. Why'd you do it? Why'd you want cameras showing your process? Certainly in a fight where it definitely appeared you had your most difficulty getting through it, but you obviously did win it, knocking out Luke and remaining undefeated. Why did you want the cameras, Ryan?
It was brought to me. You know what I'm saying? So YouTube wanted to do something with me. They were pleased with my YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that I'm okay with this. I'm okay to show my flaws. I'm okay to show my vulnerability. I'm okay with showing people that it ain't easy. Because, you know, that's the main thing with people, that people tell lies every time, like it's easy. Going back to Floyd, he made it seem like, oh, this is easy. I mean, he didn't. He said hard work, dedication. But, like, I feel like with this, I needed to show something like, what do you say? Vulnerability. That's the main word. Mm-hmm. I wanted to show vulnerability. I wanted to show, you know, I even talked about, you know, with me and my girlfriend, you know, at the time, obviously things came out, and then I ended up kissing a girl other than her. And I know I know I don't need to bring this up right now, but I feel like I have to because that's what I showed in the documentary. It's just one example of I'm not afraid to talk about my flaws, and I felt like I needed to do that to people to see that you could still become great even if you have flaws. You could, if you choose to do the great thing the next time around. And I wasn't afraid. I didn't care what people say, man. I mean, if you're trying to judge me, you should look at yourself in the mirror. You understand what I'm saying? So I feel like that was what was needed in order for me if I wanted a successful doc would stay brought to me, I needed to be as truthful as I can, and it'll touch people's spirit, and that's what I plan to do with that doc.
Ryan Garcia here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's next for you? Who's next for you? What do you got for me on that front?
You know what I want. I want Javonte Davis, and I'm going to do this in maybe a calmer manner. I know what I'm going to do to him. I mean, when we get in the ring, it's going to take me 2 rounds. That is it. But, you know, I'm also open to if I have to
mm-hmm.
fight somebody else before that, I will do. If I have to fight Linares, I'll be ready. Jorge Linares.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to fight him, I will. You know what I'm saying? And this is the first time I'm kind of saying another name. I still want people to know that I will try my best to get that Javonte fight first. But if for some reason either they don't want to fight or the deal's taking too long, I'll give the people a fight in between. I'll fight Jorge Linares.
Then why do you want Manny Pacquiao too, Ryan? What's that?
I feel like he's a great fighter. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, and he's a legend. And somebody that, when you're a legend like that, right, you've seen it with Oscar. Oscar passed that torch to Manny. Manny, I feel like is that inspiration that makes you a legend. 8-time world champion. He has lost, but 8-time weight class world champion? I mean, and came from dirt all the way to a senator in the Philippines? Legend. That's what you call a legend. Muhammad Ali, Oscar De La Hoya, Manny Pacquiao. And now, guess what? It's my turn. And that's why I feel like maybe after Javonte, hopefully, this is out of respect. This is not calling him out. I don't want people to think I'm calling him out. That's mm-hmm. so stupid. Not calling him out. I'm just saying, can we share the ring together? And please pass that torch to me.
Well, Ryan Garcia, a couple minutes left with Ryan, fresh off of his victory over Luke Campbell, the championship fighter here on the Rich Eisen Show. You just mentioned a couple of names of guys who fought deep into their careers. Is it true you intend, you're 22, that you've pegged 26 to retire so you could, and I quote you here, fight against hate and confusion that has been put in our country right now. Is that true? You're going to retire in 4 years?
Yeah, I plan to. If I say it, I plan to do it.
So why? Why?
Well, it goes back to the hate and confusion part. So many lies are being said to our country, and nobody at this time knows the truth. You get the sense of that? You can't believe anything nowadays. And that's a sad, it makes me almost want to cry. Nobody is okay right now. Nobody has clarity. Nobody has peace in their heart. Nobody right now. I mean, some people do, the ones that know God and Jesus. That's how I feel, and people have to respect that.
So how will you not fighting and retiring, like, what, do you have that plan, or you know what I'm saying? Like, so many people are enjoying watching your career. I mean, the way that you hold yourself and communicate is a reason why YouTube reached out to you and said, let's show the whole world who Ryan Garcia is if you don't already know. So wouldn't your platform as a fighter help you do this, Ryan?
I enjoy that question. Thank you for asking me a great question.
You are welcome, Ryan. That's what I do for a living. By the way, I'm a professional who uses words and not, you know, my hands.
Emotion.
But yeah, I use my hands when I talk. But no, please answer. Go for it.
Okay. How do I say this? I plan to at 26 to retire. I don't know officially, right? I mean, you've seen in the past fighters have retired, came back. This is what I will say. I still plan to retire at 26. Yet, if I am to return back to the ring, I will only battle people that people at that time say, there's no way Ryan will beat him. That's the only time I'm coming back. And I will always give the glory to God after I win. That's what I plan to do. All I box for is to give the glory to God. So once I win, I say, thank you, Lord. Jesus Christ, he's coming. There it is. That's my plan. And that I'm not the king. I don't like when people say, Ryan, King Ryan. You know, I mean, I do like, because I feel like a king in the ring, like a warrior. But I like to acknowledge that, you know, I live to serve Jesus. You know what I mean? And that's what I really feel. That, and I hope people feel that in my heart. Cause, and I don't want to push people away. You know what I'm saying? I don't want people to be like, yo, you just, you know, somebody that just says that. So I will show that in the ring when it comes down to it. So to answer your question, 26, I still plan to retire. But if I do return back in the ring, I will promise everybody that I will fight people that they say I won't beat. And I'm even, you know what I'm willing to do?
Sure.
What? And I really haven't said this out loud.
Okay.
What I plan to do is, say at 26, I'm done retiring and boxing is all good, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'll do?
What?
If they say, okay, you've beaten everybody in the ring, right? But, you know, somebody goes, this ain't real fighting. You know what I mean? Real fighting is legs. You know, choking, submission, all that. Guess what I'll do? I'll go prove to them that I'm the best fighter all around in the world. I'm talking about hands. I'm talking about wrestling. I will go to MMA to prove a point that God is greatest. And I'll go beat whoever it is in MMA. They say I won't beat. If it has to be Conor McGregor, I will. And I'm not saying this to get money. I don't care about money. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this because that's just how I feel. So if that answers your question, there it is.
Oh, that answers my question, Ryan. That answers my question.
God is good.
Okay. Hey, Ryan, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. And if you're free later, things get a little out of hand around dinner time. With I've got three kids. Can you maybe come over and tell them to keep quiet? Ryan, could you do that?
Hey, I think that's your job.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks for the time, Ryan. I hope this is the first of many times you appear on this show and we chat. It really was a pleasure. Thank you.
You asked really good questions. I thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
You know, appreciate I like that. Being on your show. So
thank
I'm
you.
Pretty sure we'll probably be on it in about a lot more times.
All right, Ryan. I look forward to that. I will hold you to that, and I look forward to your next fight, your next steps, and congrats again on 30 Days with Ryan Garcia, which is a YouTube original docuseries that wrapped up just the other day. Thanks for coming on the show.
Great. Have a good one.
You got it. That's Ryan Garcia. I could tell when a fighter is on a roll,
yep,
on this show and saying things that are newsworthy, and I see the two of you guys. You're looking at each other. You're looking at me. You're looking at each other. You're looking at me. Like MMA.
How about that?
Hey, if Ryan Garcia goes to the MMA, obviously it's his choice. I mean, it's his body. It's his choice. It's his mind. It's his career. But if he does not retire at age 26 and he does go to the to fight in the UFC, do I ask Dana White for
something for the effort?
Hey, Dana. I mean, it's his own decision. He's right. Obviously a guy with free will. Let's put it that way. I picked that one up. But hey, if he does fight in the UFC, you remember where you heard it here first.
Okay, that was exclusive.
He says he's never said something like that.
You know, we just broke news.
Dana White, all I say to you, sir, is you are most welcome.
I have a great question for you after the break.
Let's take a break. We'll take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
That was,
where
that
I
was
ask
fun.
Excellent questions.
Yeah, of course, of course.
That was his favorite part.
That was awesome. We're back in a moment.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford anything, wherever you listen.
One of my favorite moments of 2020, which had very few of them, my God, was Celebrity Family Feud, Bruce Smith and Fast Money.
I still have that.
In June. It was in, I remember it was right in the middle of the summer.
Yep.
And the question was, you know, if you're Captain Hook and he needs to replace his hook with a tool, what would he replace it with?
Right.
And he said hammer, and that was a repeat of what I think Michael Irvin went through it first. And then his second response was, for some reason, the aforementioned male genitalia. He said replace it with the male body part.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Harvey, with a ticking clock of a game where money's on the line,
yep,
made the decision of taking it in, hearing it, and stopping it right then and there, and basically, what the F did he say? And it was an amazing moment. Everybody laughing like crazy.
If Captain Hook was moonlighting as a handyman,
right,
he might replace his hook with what tool?
A hammer.
Try again.
A penis.
There you go.
Tell me.
But by the way, Steve Harvey then went on to the next one.
And he goes, wait, what the hell just happened?
Yeah. Incredible.
These boxers, these fighters are unbelievable. So is he going to go to you, like, put a pin in that for 4 years from now, huh?
Yeah.
We'll see how that works.
Yeah.
I liked what he said, though, and it shows
going
something
to the
about
UFC.
Him being so young and talking about how he essentially had to get his house in order because he knew all of the people
could
and all
you
the
imagine?
Things.
You're 22 years old, and you're...
So it's amazing to see that he's in that. He's surrounding himself with the right people that can let him know.
Well, let's hope.
You know? Yeah, well, he's got Oscar De La Hoya in his corner. He's got Canelo in his corner. So he's got the right people to kind of guide him and show him the way. And it's very interesting.
He is on the rise. It is happening for this kid.
How many followers on Instagram?
Over 8 million.
8.2,
yeah,
I believe.
King Ryan. Yeah. Jeff in Detroit, let's take your phone call. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hope everything
what's
is
up,
going
Jeff?
All
Jeffrey.
Right with you guys. That was a great interview.
Thanks.
That brings some really, really good energy. And he's not your everyday, ordinary interview. You know, he does have a different quality about him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, the Ravens, are they a mirror image, or do they seem to you to have that kind of New York Giants of 07, 08.
Mm.
By the time they, you know, start getting, because they barely made it to the playoffs.
Right.
Caught fire at the right time.
Right.
Later on then, you know, eventually took out, took out New England.
Right.
Who was the heavy favorite.
Right.
Heavy, heavy favorite.
Right. And caught fire, winning all the games on the road to make a Super Bowl that nobody thought they could make and that they did, you know, get in you know, at the last minute. That's an interesting analogy. Obviously, Eli and Lamar couldn't be more polar opposite in terms of the quarterbacks. And defensively, though, the Giants were able to just put four guys on the line and go hunt, not have to scheme their way to the quarterback. And thanks for the call, Jeff. That's an excellent thought right there. You never know, man. They could absolutely win in Buffalo. And then wind up going to Kansas City. Can you imagine if they host Cleveland? Oh, my gosh. That's entirely possible. By the way, a diehard Ravens fan, Josh Charles, will be on the show tomorrow.
Sweet.
He's nervous yet confident. Or he could be confident yet nervous. Let him describe it. Lou Diamond Phillips coming up, hour 3.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.